Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello everyone, and welcome to the latest edition of Grecian's Gossip. A bit of a stripped down version this week, just me and Daniel Clark.
Hello.
With Jamie and Howard both off. So let's get talking then. First of all, City's lost to Port Vale on Saturday. Dan, a bit of a disappointing one, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't think the Grecians ever got going in that game at all, and you just sort of. As the game went on, you kind of thought, well, Port Vale, they're a decent side. They're not going to... I can't see them going down, but I also can't see them being anywhere near the playoffs at the end of the season. And there was never really any moment where they really threatened to, you know, even put a bit of pressure on and get a goal. I mean, I don't think the conditions helped. It was a, you know, a very, very blustery day, the wind all over the place. But it was the same for both sides. And Port Vale coped with the conditions so much better than Exeter did at all. They looked like, you know, they looked like they had a game plan, and Exeter didn't really have any game plan to deal with the conditions. As it was, you know, it was the one bit of, you know, quality from the goal actually comes, you know, Port Vale gets the goal. I mean, it's poor defending all round really from Exeter. I mean, it's too easy how they get down the left hand side, and you can't leave, you know, Pope in that, you know, that free on, in the penalty box to get the shot in. So, you know, it's on its own, it's, you know, it's just an off result, but obviously it follows the loss against Luton earlier in the week, which was a, you know, the scoreline more than the result, perhaps more disappointing than that one, and that's bad back-to-back defeats, and, you know, out of the top three as well.
And perhaps for the first time this season as well, City have lost to a team that they perhaps were expected to beat. You know, you look at the other losses, Luton, Notts County and Coventry, we all spoke about those games beforehand and said, oh, those would be tough. But this time last week, we were sat here saying, well, you know, bounce back from a disappointing result to Luton with a win. But clearly it didn't happen that way. And you mentioned the conditions. And for me, I thought they did play into Port Vale's hands a little in the fact, you know, you look at the amount of long shots Port Vale had in the first half. They had two or three that just got caught by the wind blowing in that direction and almost rocketing to the top corner. It difficult for me to tell from the press box, but it seemed that way with the goal as well.
Yeah, just obviously the wind, the swirling wind, but obviously sort of blowing, I mean, Exeter in the first half, obviously kicking into the wind and continually decided to launch long balls high up to the left-hand side. And, you know, firstly to Kyle Edwards, who's not exactly the tallest player, he's never likely to win the headers. But, you know, Christy Pym just couldn't get the ball over the halfway line, really. And even when it did, it just, you know, it would fall to an isolated ex-City player who couldn't control it and knock it on to anyone else to get them in the game. And then obviously then the second half, Exeter, you've got the win behind them, but sort of continued to launch it long and was launching it well over the top of, you know, Stockley and Reed, that you never gave them a chance to even compete for the ball because it was 10 yards over their head. I mean, I do think Port Vale sort of coped with that second half really well. They played a really high line actually, which sort of meant that it was almost virtually impossible for Exeter to play long balls because with the wind so far up and them sort of staying 40 yards from their goal the whole time, it sort of meant that virtually anything that they played over the top was always going to run straight through to the arms of the goalkeeper out for a goal kick, and they sort of neutralised the conditions completely in that second half, which really Exeter didn't do. They needed to play it along the floor a lot more, and I think they got sucked into the fact, well, Jaden Stockley was so good in the air against Luton, and it's a bit of a windy day, so we'll just keep launching it long without actually, you know, putting their heads together. I think they sort of lost, you know, control a little bit in the second half and sort of just launching long balls without really thinking about what they needed to do on that one. And I think that will probably disappoint Paul Tisdale a little more, because I'm sure that wasn't his game plan, can't have been in the second half, to smash the ball 20 yards over the head of Stockley and Reed constantly.
But I guess on the positive side, you know, still a couple of chances created with Kel Roos having to make one save in particular from Pierce Sweeney's header in the second half, and Troy Brown having a goal ruled out for offside. So, you know, I think, well, if you are looking for positives, then there weren't many to come out of the game, at least. You know, City did create chances, even if they weren't as many as they wanted.
Yeah, you know, it wasn't the most fluent performance from Exeter, I guess, the other thing, you know, other than the goal, you know, it seems foolish to say other than the goal, but other than the goal, Port Vale actually never looked like scoring a goal either, really, and that's, you know, what we've seen a lot this season, much more defensively solid than Tuesday night when Luton cut through Exeter completely. I think it's just one of those, the conditions and just an off day that, you know, in League Two, players are going to have, you know, more often than not, you know, they're still only 2 points off the top, so it's, you know, it's a bad result, but in the context of the season, it's, you know, it's not the end of the world. You've got a, you know, Mansfield up next. They're not in great form. If you win that game, you know, everything's forgotten about, really. You know, even a point there's not the worst result, but I think it's just one of those you've just got to go, well, it happens, it was a poor performance, let's just make sure it doesn't happen again, to be honest, and sort of forget about it. I think, you know, some of the players, you know, didn't really, you know, take their chance when they came into the side either. I mean, Edwards was given a chance, and I don't know what you thought, but he sort of looked more like he should be used as an impact sub at this stage. He found it very difficult to get into the game consistently as well. And, you know, Jordan Moore-Taylor coming back from injury, I don't think was 100% fit, you know, possibly not to blame for the goal, but sort of not quite at his sharpest either.
Yeah, I rather agree with Edwards. I thought, you know, even in the 5 minutes Jack Sparksman was on the pitch, he seemed to put a couple more threatening crosses in, really. I thought, you know, everyone knows about Edwards' pace, but there's still some work to be done on his end product. But then again, he did set up 2 goals against Hull in the Premier League Cup on Monday night. So clearly there is an end product there, but it's just about sort of getting that on a consistent basis, really, I suppose.
Yeah, maybe just not the ideal game to start him in, and a game in which is always going to be a very difficult conditions, and not using his strength, so to speak. Obviously, you know, the loss of Tilson again might have produced a bit of a, you know, change up in the game plan. Obviously, the news sort of only just broke before kickoff, so wonder, you know, how long the players were aware of that for, whether that affected the game plan as well. You sort of, you know, watching the game, it's the kind of game that someone like a Ryan Harley would have been really useful to actually have had he been fit, because he'd have been able to, you know, use his head a little bit more, control the game, and, you know, try and pick out those passes, keep the ball along the floor, and, you know, try and get players in behind rather than the long ball football that we saw for some parts of that game.
Well, let's have a listen to what Phil Tisdale thought of the game.
Yeah, I certainly don't want to be drawn into an excuse about the weather. You know, we, if we're going to be successful, we have to be good in all sorts of conditions, and we have to have the wherewithal to make sure that under that kind of pressure, with that kind of wind, that we don't concede a goal like we did. And I'm not prepared to accept that that today was a conditions for them, but not for us. We've got to be good in all conditions. And I didn't think we were bad today. The first goal, again, is a crucial starting point, which made it very, very difficult for us to come back into, and I'd like to have done a little bit better under the pressure at the end to try to get the goal. We didn't. We weren't bad. I'm concerned because I'm a professional and I want to do the very best I can every week. Am I overly concerned for the season? No, it's a poor week or two, but hopefully it'll just be that.
And with that goal in particular, was it the fact that Stockley just had a header that just went wide, and literally from their goal kick, within 10 seconds or so, the ball was in your net?
I mean, any goal you concede, unless it's a once in a season strike or a bit unlucky play, or 9 times out of 10 you can break the goal down and be critical of a player or two or a unit or part of your team. I'm sure if we do that, we will find somewhere there's been some mistake or some weakness somewhere. The ball goes out for a corner, everyone's for a goal kick, everyone's in place, they kick it long, and within a moment or two it's a free player to side foot it in the net. So look, I've done this I've been doing this enough now to know that you're not going to get everything your own way. You'll have these periods. Sometimes you play well and you lose. We've had games this season where we haven't been probably as good as we were today, and we've won. So let's be philosophical about it. But I certainly don't want to undervalue the 3 points today. We wanted it dearly. We didn't get it. There's parts to our game that I'll look at. We had changes in the side today. The players coming in have got to be good enough to go and just get a result, because we want to be successful. That's the way it has to work.
And you did come up against a side in Port Vale who are obviously rapidly improving, and their display today seemed to be really professional in closing you down, not giving many opportunities for Ruben and Jaden up front.
No, they played really well. They played as a team. They got the early goal. They hung on to it. Been there myself, and all that's like, you know, you keep to basics and you play as a team. They did that really well, and well done to them. So, but I'd like to think we'd play that game today in the same way, and it wouldn't always be a defeat for us. But today it was, and the first goal seemed to be a really crucial moment in the game.
Was there any heavy-leggedness for you there, and any of your players after the game against Luton?
Well, I know of. We had 3 changes. You obviously knew that. We had 3 injuries in the side, so that goes without saying. I'm sure they played midweek. I think they did. So
yeah, they won.
Did they? Yeah. So yeah, saved both sides.
That was Paul Tizzo there. We've now had a question in from Tim Bloyce, and it seems to be the big talking point at the moment. Can James Stockley and Ruben Reid work up front together, and should Liam McInerney be given more of a chance? Dan, what are your thoughts?
Well, we've seen that they can work together. It was the Morecambe game that they played as a pair, and you know, everyone came away from that game. You know, the questions were, can they play together beforehand? After the game, well, yes, they can. They just proved that they looked together as a pair. But since then, it's not quite worked in the way you'd hoped to. I think, you know, the problem really Saturday is they were never really close enough to each other to get each other into the game. So all those long balls were going forward, and when either Stockley or Reid won the header, or you know, in the rare occasions that it did, there wasn't actually anyone close enough to them to pick up the second ball and, you know, keep the attacks going. Maybe they are a little bit too similar, but I think that, you know, they definitely can play together. I think it's just Reid's on a little bit of a, he's not in top form at the moment, sort of just struggling a little bit. McAlinden, you know, as we saw at the start of the season, he linked up well with Ruben Reid. You know, I think he probably could link up well with Stockley, but in these sort of little cameo appearances we've seen from him off the bench in the last 2 or 3 games, he's not. It's hard to say he's actually done it anything since he's been dropped from the. You know, may have been harsh that he was dropped from the side, but he hasn't done really, perhaps enough as a substitute to try and force his way back in. But he did play well in that cup game against Hull from the start, so perhaps, you know, he's showing at this stage he has maybe a better starting player rather than an impact sub, and you sort of feel he might come into the side maybe on Saturday at Mansfield for Ruben Reid possibly, and sort of put him back in that impact sub role we saw at the back end of last season. But I think the two of them can play together. It's just not quite working for them at this stage.
I thought they linked up quite well together in the first half against Luton as well, actually. And I don't know, it's a difficult one really, because, you know, Ruben Reid was in such great form at the beginning of the season. And since Jaden Stockley came in, his role has changed slightly to where Jaden Stockley is more of the battering ram that Ruben Reid was, and Reid's playing just off him. And it's interesting that he's only actually scored one goal since Stockley's been on the pitch at the same time as him, and he's now not scored for 8 games, which is, you know, worrying in a way. At the same time, he is still getting chances, which is something he pointed out to me in some audio we'll listen to in a few moments. But it's really difficult for me to say whether he should be on the pitch or not, to be honest. I think they can play together, Dan, as you said. But perhaps Reid just needs a little break. As you said, towards the back end of last season, there are a couple of moments where you thought, yeah, Reid could do with a break here. He dropped to the bench and came on and had a massive impact off the bench. And I'm not saying he should suddenly be used as an impact sub, because I think he's too good for that. But, you know, just take him out of the squad, get a bit of life back into the legs, that sort of thing, and then, you know, see if he can recapture his form from the bench a little, you know, with those late cameos. And, you know, Mansfield away this Saturday, that was a perfect example of last season, where he came off the bench, absolutely tore their defence to shreds and won a penalty, even though Steve Evans didn't think it was a penalty. And then, you know, and scored from the spot. And, you know, I think it'll be perhaps a good opportunity now, perhaps to just ease the pressure, perhaps ease the, if there is any sort of fatigue in the legs, and just give him a chance to recapture his form that way.
Yeah, I suppose, obviously, while City are losing games and not scoring goals, there's always going to be questions asked. I mean, it's not the worst problem to have. I mean, you know, trying to get, you know, Jaden Stockley and Ruben Reid into the same side. I mean, if you think back a couple of years and look at some of the striking options Exeter have had in that time, you know, it's a vast improvement anyway. I mean, a few years ago, Liam McAlinden, you know, a player of his quality, would have been almost first name on the team sheet. And yet, you know, given the paucity of options, you know, we had up there now, you know, you can cut, you know, it's not difficult to make a case he shouldn't be starting, but you kind of feel that, you know, possibly some things need to freshen up, just change it for one or two games, because, you know, you can't, if it's just not working. It's almost been, what we're looking, three or four games now where they've not, you know, that last three or four games, obviously, Port Vale didn't really happen. Wickham didn't really create anything, but that was a difficult game. Carlisle away again, don't think either of them really had the best game up there, and it was a goal from a corner. Obviously, the Luton game, they look, you know, that first 45 minutes was really, really good, and then the second half just went sort of horribly wrong. I mean, you kind of just want one of them, you know, if to see they work on, you know, ideally, if they both started at Mansfield, both scored goals, both maybe set out one for each other, would be us saying, well, you know, putting this question behind us. But whilst, you know, Exeter are just in a little bit of a, you know, downturn in form at the moment, we're going to keep, these questions are keep going to be asked and answered until, you know, they either start scoring goals again, or we come to the conclusion that the Morecambe game was the one-off, and actually it's got to be either or both, but in a totally different role. Maybe, you know, one of them out in a front three with one of them down the middle, one out wide, so they're not playing as a pair.
So I mentioned the Ruben Reid audio. I spoke to him after the game on Saturday. Let's have a listen to what he had to say.
Tough conditions in the first half, really strong wind, which is plain to see, and unfortunately we conceded a goal again, which gives the team a foothold to sit in for the majority of the game, and then obviously we didn't have the quality to get our goals, get back in the game, and then an eventual winner. So disappointing, yeah.
And has that been the difference in these past couple of games, the fact the other team have been able to get that foothold in games?
Yeah, well, when you concede a goal, it always, against a team that sort of seems comfortable to, like, sort of, you know, not break out of their shape type of thing, to give them a goal start is never a good thing. But then we got to look at ourselves and be honest enough and we didn't have the quality in the right moments to get back in.
And that's a few games without scoring for you now after, you know, a brilliant start of the season. Is that a concern for you at all at the moment?
Yeah, of course it's a concern. I'm a striker and I want to score goals, but it's not a concern as much where I'm thinking about it, you know, but, you know, I'm more concerned about my performances, to answer the question, and they've genuinely been, you know, decent, but the only thing is when goals, it can change the flow of the games, and you know, I've missed a few chances, which is probably the highlight, the best thing really, because it's when you don't get chances, that's when you've got to start worrying. So no, I'm not worried. It's a slight concern, because obviously you want to be scoring and it helps the team win the games, but it's not a big thing overall. We've generally been a team since I've come here, but we share the goals around, so no, it's not overly concerning, but it is there, yeah.
And I guess your role in the team has sort of slightly changed from the start of the season, when you sort of perhaps a bit more of a target man, and now Jaden's come in and it's sort of, you're playing off a bit more, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly. And you can see the dynamics of the front two has changed, where, you know, I was sort of the point man before he came in, but you know, we've just got to work together and get it right for the good of the team. However way we set up, you know, we it's not always going to be perfect for an individual player, but we've just got to be willing to put the work in to make it happen.
And next up, you got Mansfield, a side who you scored a late run against last season. Had a bit of a war of words, as it were, with Steve Evans. Are you looking forward to going back there?
I don't know if I had a war of words with him. It's just, I said something after the game, and then he sort of followed it on type thing. I don't, I didn't really pay too much attention. But yeah, obviously they're a team who recruited a lot of players over the summer, and it's a game that had a lot of heat on it come the end that season, obviously in the manner which we won the game. It's just another game as any. Like today, you know, we've got to go in there and get our season not back on track. I mean, go and get a positive performance and you know, make sure we establish ourselves back in the top three.
And I guess that is the positive, is that the performances are still there for you, aren't they? The team, despite the two losses.
Personally, or for the team?
For the team, yeah.
Yeah, for the team, yeah. I mean, of course, we're a good side, so we're always gonna we're playing well. It's just the moments we've got to sort of be better than the opposition. As I said, it's no good giving a team a foothold in the game, you know, in the manner we've conceded the type of goals. But then again, even if that does happen, we've got to look at ourselves as the front players. We've got it in us, you know, but we believe that we'll create something, and to not score to only score one goal at home in the two games is not I'm looking from a striker's point of view, and the forwards, it's not been good enough, you know, however well the opposition has done. You know, we've got it in us to break a team down and get a goal, and then the whole dynamics of the game changes. You probably go on and win the games, you know, 3-4, which we've shown we can do.
And next up now then, as you heard in that, City have got Mansfield away, a tough game after their big spending in the summer.
Yeah, well, I suppose at the start of the season, when people were looking at that, the league table, you know, Mansfield were up there with Luton as the favourites to go up. But when you digged into it a little bit deeper, you looked at those signings Mansfield made and you sort of went, well, they've made about 13, 14 signings, but there's only two or three that you actually go, well, yeah, that's a good signing. The rest you sort of were looking at and thinking, I mean, that's okay, but I'm not worried about him. And, you know, I think it's more the Steve Evans factor than the actual players on the pitch that got people excited, because they've not had they didn't really turn it around last season too much under him. They've not made a great start this season at all. And you kind of feel they're under probably more pressure than Exeter at this stage, because it's just not happened for Mansfield this season. They're sort of in mid-table. Their form's been, it's not been great at all. And they kind of need a win more than Exeter, to be honest, at this stage.
And I guess some interesting debate over the team news, really. Obviously, no Jordan Tilson. He'll be out for 4 to 6 weeks after breaking his foot against Luton in midweek last week, and no one at all actually knew he'd broken his foot. He played for 40 minutes with a broken foot. It's quite incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you'd think he would have noticed that he's got a broken foot, but perhaps not. But obviously, that just shows, I know we didn't definitely notice watching that game, and none of the players or the coaching staff did, to sort of hit it well and carried on. Obviously, it's going to be a bit of a loss to the side. I mean, you assume that means sort of Boateng and James sit in the middle for the time being, and the rest of the team sort of works around him. I mean, we've spoken about possibly McAlinden coming in. I mean, possibly the other change, I'd be tempted to look at as a right back, because I think sort of Piers Sweeney didn't really look his best again in the last couple of games, sort of perhaps been a step slower than what we'd have, we've seen such a great start he made to the season. I know Kane Wilson is very highly rated at West Brom, looks to have played well every time he's featured for the under-23s, and, might be worth, the time to bring him into the side and, see exactly, what he's got about him.
And, I wasn't too impressed with Kane Wilson when I saw him against Plymouth, which wasn't anything, no comment on him. He just looked a bit rusty, so I'm not sure if I'd want to start him in a game against a Mansfield side who, as you say, are going to be desperate to win. I think it's pretty obvious it'll be James and Boateng in the middle. Something I have wanted to see for City for a while, and this links into the Stop Be Rude thing. I think a really good formation would be a 4-3-3 with maybe Ruben Reid on one wing. I don't know. Definitely Lee Holmes on the other wing, and then James Stop in the middle. The two wingers whipping crosses into Stop. I think that would work brilliantly. But I guess we'll have to wait and see how Paul Sitter decides to line up.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the third you need to, for that for third centre midfielder, you sort of feel that's when Ryan Harley perhaps is the.
I was going to say move Jake Taylor into the
and Taylor or Ryan Harley as someone who's perhaps got a little bit more creativity. To spread those passes and obviously doesn't use him either sort of out on the left hand side where sometimes he's wasted or in a midfield too where he's got a lot more, you know, defensive responsibility or running to do. But I mean, Jake Taylor could obviously come into the middle as well. That might be an option if you just want to go a little bit more, you know, defensively. And obviously he obviously can play out wide, so it's an easy switch to make during the game back to a 4-4-2 if necessary. I mean, sort of, if you're looking for that winger, obviously Lee Holmes can play in a wide role. And I guess if you're playing a 4-3-3, it obviously doesn't have to do as much defensive work, which is, I think, something you sort of can see at times. He doesn't want to do the defensive work, and if he's got three centre midfielders, he can sort of just be used, you know, use all his energy just to run at defenders and get those crosses in on the other side. I mean, you'd be sort of looking whether you'd want sort of a Ruben Reid out wide, sort of, or Stockley even as sort of the wide forward in the David Wheeler kind of role, or McAlinden, you know, could possibly play there as well. You've got, you know, the likes of Edwards and Sparks as youngsters who can just be sort of used as a pure runner or a flyer just to try and terrorise defences and run at them constantly without, again, you know, having to do the defensive work of a 4-4-2 that. You know, they end up getting stuck in the left back or the right back position, doubling up on wingers. So it could be an option. I mean, he's sort of stuck to a 4-4-2 pretty much all game, all the way through this season in the league. And I'd be surprised if it was, you know, he changed that formation at Mansfield. But you know, Paul Tisdale, we've seen in the past that who knows what cut he can pull, you know, rabbits out of a hat with systems that no one would have even. You know, A, talked about before the game, and B, even envisaged once you've got the team sheet in front of you. So, you know, we'll have to see how that one goes. But it's going to be a tough game, I think, particularly. I think it could be very similar to sort of, you know, the kind of Carlisle or, you know, or Wickham away ones in which you sort of go there, try and, you know, grind out a result and make sure that the opposition get nil. And if you can get one, great. But if not, take the nil-nil and, you know, then look to move on with a few softer fixtures to come in November.
So just finally, what's your prediction for the game?
I sort of think it's going to be close. I don't see there being too many goals. Maybe a 1-1 draw.
I will go for 2-1 to City then. So thanks for joining us on this week's Grecian's Gossip, and who knows, maybe we'll have some more people in next week.